Today on Seculo, the acting defense secretary under President Trump's administration said he did not authorize the Milley call to China.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got a packed-in show for you today, talking about, of course, the situation, the ongoing, that continues to unravel piece by piece involving General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The next segment, Senator Lindsey Graham joining us live, then Rick Grenell in the third segment joining us live as well. So we're going to get their thoughts on this as well. Senator Graham just sent off a letter along with Congressman Waltz to General Milley about the conversation. So we'll talk to him about that. Here's where things stand right now. We have one former Secretary of Defense, Esper, who is saying this is normal. His people are saying, you know, the October call, which did not have the part in it about, by the way, I'll let you know if we're going to strike. I'll give you warning. I'll come to you first. That wasn't in that call. So I think there's a little bit of a distraction there trying to get our focus and attention on this call. One call, which was maybe appropriate, and another call where you've got the former acting Secretary of Defense, Miller. He's come out and said, well, I don't know about what Esper, but I was the acting Secretary of Defense when this call in question occurred in January, and no one asked for my approval for this. No one went to me for the approval to do this call. And I want to go right to Wes Smith. Wes, that approval is very key and necessary. We're talking about chain of command issues. It's not just maybe it did happen, maybe it didn't. It is very significant that the acting secretary at the time is saying he had no knowledge of this and no approval.
Right, yeah. Chris Miller was the acting secretary because Mark Esper had resigned early. And so he had all the authority and power of the Secretary of Defense, which means that Chris Miller was actually in the chain of command. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as his counterparts on the Joint Chiefs, are not in the chain of command. They have no operational command authority, and that's by law of the Goldwater-Nichols Act. And so he operated outside of the chain of command. The Secretary of Defense, his immediate supervisor, Chris Miller, would have been in that chain of command. If he really had concerns about Donald Trump, about his mental fitness or some of the things he might do, there is an appropriate way to address that, and that is going to his immediate supervisor, who's the Secretary of Defense, who's not only in the chain of command, he's on the president's cabinet, and deal with it there. But what General Milley did, if the allegations are true, is that he made himself the de facto commander-in-chief. It violates the Constitution, Article 2. It violates, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. It was totally out of line if this is what he did. And it certainly violates the principle of civilian control of the military. This is why we have civilian control. It's why in our 245-year history, we have never had a military coup, because this kind of actions and behavior on the part of our military is absolutely forbidden. And General Milley has to know this.
Let me go to Than Bennett quickly. Than, Washington, we've seen the reaction. We're going to talk to Senator Graham. There is this move, and I think I would talk to Senator Graham about this and Rick Grenell about it. But there's a move. It's almost like so shocking that everybody wants more information, because if this is true, it is so outside of the conduct that is acceptable.
Well, they want more information, Jordan, because as Wes says, the civilian chain of command is so sacred. It's so sacrosanct. And that's frankly what gives our military leaders, our generals, so much respect. But Jordan, I've got to tell you, if it's true, and I'm not saying it is, but if it's true that Secretary Esper gave this order the first time around, the fact that it wasn't given the second time around by Secretary Miller, in my view, Jordan, that makes it even worse.
All right, folks, we come back. Share this with your friends and family if you're watching on online. Again, Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, Rumble, Instagram. Senator Lindsey Graham is about to join us live. Just sent out a letter to General Milley on this. Then Rick Grenell will be joining us as well, so you don't want to miss that. Share it with your friends and family. As always, encourage you. Wes has got a new piece up about this, too, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast as well. Be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are joined right now live by Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. And I want to go right to Senator Graham. Senator Graham, you have, thank you for joining us. You got this letter off to General Milley directly, along with Congressman Walz, directly asking him about what is being reported that is in this book, the two different phone calls, October 30th and January 8th. How important do you think getting to the bottom of this is for the American people, for Congress to do? Because especially this warning, and no one's really denying it. In fact, they're trying to paper over. We heard even John Kirby say that he saw this and he didn't have any issues with that. It's pretty shocking to hear that when it's being reported that a general may have been giving warnings or promising warnings to the Chinese without authority.
Well, number one, what's in the book is very disturbing. It would be undercutting civilian control of the military. Phone calls that are, you know, go against the idea of civilian control of the military. And there's the book, okay? So, you know what I like about Jay Sekulow? You know what I like about the whole system over here? Is that the rule of law actually does work if you allow it to work. So I'm not going to try General Milley based on some book. And, you know, a lot of this stuff in books in the past have turned out to be nothing. So what do I do? I go back to the old South Carolina way of doing business. Let's talk to the guy, hear his side of the story, then I'll tell you what I think. So I'm not going to try him in the media. I'm not going to try him based on a book. So I expect to set up a meeting sooner rather than later with General Milley, let him walk me through both phone calls, what happened, what was said, the content of the phone call. Then I'll get back to you. It's important that he explain himself to me and Congressman Walz. It's important he explain himself to the Congress on September the 28th. But it's also important that we take a deep breath here and not go crazy over an excerpt in a book.
Well, we know. I mean, Senator Graham, as you know, we all have gotten very familiar with these transcripts and call transcripts and what was actually said and what's being reported. And I agree with you 100%. It seems like the part that's being papered over right now by the people who are commenting that say that they had any knowledge of this or maybe they were in the room is they haven't denied anything. That's the interesting part about this so far is that they haven't come out and said that wasn't accurate about the warning to the Chinese. Is that the focus area? I mean, I can understand phone calls between the chairman of Joint Chiefs and the head of the Chinese military. If that's a normal kind of procedure, it wouldn't seem that odd. It's more the content.
Yeah, totally. It's all about the content. And, you know, the way this thing's portrayed in the book is that Milley just got on the phone one day and called the Chinese and said, you know, we got a crazy guy here who's president. I promise you we're not going to attack you. But if we try to attack you, I'll give you a heads up. Well, let's see if that holds up. Okay, these are sensational phone calls. Let's see if it holds up to be sensational. Let's see, was it coordinated? Did General Milley have other people in the room? Did he let people know what was going on? Were other countries worried about what was going on? What did Nancy Pelosi say to General Milley? Now, what did the Speaker of House call General Milley up and ask about? So here's what I expect. I expect General Milley to explain himself. I hope that he'll get a chance to explain himself. I hope he'll have documents proving what he did and when he did it. So I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way, the Jay Sekulow, Lindsey Graham way. Remember they wanted to impeach the president based on a phone call? Yep. Remember that?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's why I get sensitive, too, Senator, when everybody talks about transcripts. I think the right people can have access to these transcripts and make the call. Because I guess the next question, if everything is accurate, if this is a, you know, because it's not... It's basically a sentence. Whether or not that phrase was said or not, what happens then? What should happen next?
Well, so one, I want to know the context, the content, and the context of the content. And I want to know, was the system working? Was this a system decision, or was this a rogue general's decision? Okay, you know, remember how they focused on one line in the phone call with President Trump? You know,
absolutely.
I think one or two lines. Well, here's what happened. The Ukraine got the aid. Nothing was turned off. They got the aid and nobody got fired. So the bottom line is what I want to do is put the content, understand what was said and the context in which it was said, and see if the system was involved or was this some rogue individual. Look at the phone call with President Trump. You had people on the phone call. Right?
Yep.
The system worked. The president has every right to push for aggressive investigation of corruption. Joe Biden was vice president, and his son, Hunter Biden, was sitting on the board of the most corrupt company in the Ukraine. And I think that's fair game. So the bottom line is I will meet with General Milley in the coming days. I will hear his side of the story, and he will testify to the country under oath about what he did. And I would just say to everybody, take a deep breath, because it may be hard to believe sometimes books written in Washington are not accurate.
Well, listen, we've all, this whole team that you're talking to, Senator, we understand that, and we appreciate what you're doing to get to the bottom of it, to get to the facts. That's where we, again, everything can move from there. And the talk,
Right. And if he did something wrong, then he'll have the consequences come his way. Can I also say, you got a second here? Or we
absolutely,
go?
We got it. We got time.
Okay, so there's a narrative being formed here that bothers the heck out of me. Joe Biden's administration is blaming Trump for his decision and that the generals agreed with him to withdraw. Number one, President Trump did not withdraw all of our forces on January the 20th. We had 2,500 people in Bagram Air Base. Bagram Air Base was owned by the Americans. It was a conditions-based withdrawal. The Taliban were violating the conditions. The Biden administration could have easily said, all bets are off, no deadline, you got to change your behavior. It was President Biden who decided to pull all our forces out. And when they claim that our military was on board, that's a lie. And I'm going to prove this. I'm going to prove that the commander-in-chief was given sound military advice that we should stay at Bagram, we should have a residual force as an insurance policy against another 9/11, and it was President Biden who did this, not the generals.
This to me, Senator, final question to you. That seems to be the most important issue, is that I don't want everybody to get too distracted, because there's still the huge issue of Afghanistan, which is so important.
Yes. And I couldn't agree with you more. We're not going to let them get off the hook. Joe Biden, President Biden, was given sound military advice. Here's what happens if you pull the plug on Afghanistan. It all came true. And the Obama administration pulled the plug on Iraq. And the military said, if you do that, ISIS will take over. They did. 2,000 people killed, 20 countries attacked. Afghanistan's going to be worse. But they're trying to blame Trump. It wasn't Trump's decision. It was Biden's decisions. They're trying to blame the generals. And I can promise you I'm not going to let this go.
Senator Graham, thank you so much for spending some time with our audience today to talk through this. Thank you, Senator. Let me go to our team right now. Let me go to Than Bennett. Than, just the react. I think this is so key. I think that Senator Graham's right on this, is that one, it's keeping the focus, not letting this be the distraction issue from Afghanistan, but two, getting to the bottom of it. He's already sent the direct letter so that we're not all basing it off speculation. And now it's really the ball is in Milley's court and his team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the senator's correct. You, of course, shouldn't trust the book. But one of the things that I loved in his letter to General Milley is at the very end, he asked whether or not this decision to communicate a de-escalating message was an interagency position. And here's the key part, Jordan. Was it shared with the White House? You heard the senator talk about that. Look, there maybe there can be an appropriate phone call here, but it's not appropriate if it's not shared with the White House. It's not appropriate if it's not directed from the White House. So good that he's focusing on that. The other thing, Jordan, and you heard the senator talk about how this wasn't President Trump's decision or fault to do the withdrawal the way he did. Jordan, President Trump took advice from people like Senator Graham, who actually wanted to leave 2,500 troops or even more behind. He had the different perspectives in the room. He took that advice. He was very open about it. And then ultimately, he made his decision. That's a very stark contrast from what we see now, where a decision is made by the commander-in-chief, and then the finger pointing at the generals begin. President Trump took dissenting advice, including from the senator, and then, Jordan, he made the call as the commander-in-chief.
Andy, I know this about Senator Graham personally, is that however you're going to be treated, if you're a Republican or Democrat, everybody should be treated the same way. That's something he's focused on, I think, something in his career. And because he was so outspoken in that first impeachment trial, which was a similar kind of fact pattern in the sense that you've got, I think that his ultimate respect should lead to even the higher consequences, because these generals can't escape these senators who work with them on a daily basis and oftentimes back them up.
No, they can't. And Senator Graham is going to get to the bottom of it, because he is notoriously persistent in trying to get to the facts of a particular case. And as you say, these generals in the Department of Defense and the military work daily with the senators, and they're not going to give them the runaround. Senator Graham is a persistent person. He was a prosecutor in the military. He's going to get to the bottom of it, and I agree that we shouldn't make judgments based upon books like Woodward's, but I am concerned that Milley has not ever denied making the call that Woodward said he did.
He's been given the opportunities.
And he's been given the chance.
What is interesting, I think, that you will see, and this was unplanned. I mean, we were just talking to Senator Graham's office right before we went on air. When we talked to Rick also, you'll see the constant theme of bringing back to Afghanistan. I think that the people who are really experts on this understand.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We're joined by our senior advisor for foreign policy, national security, Rick Rendell. Rick, this is so shocking. I think that the shock factor that we would have a top general warn the promise the Chinese he would provide them warnings, that the focus is not so much that he may have talked to the Chinese military. That doesn't seem that bizarre. And I don't think anybody wants to say, okay, that's so outside the line. It's what's being reported, and the fact that, Rick, after 48 hours, there's no denial.
So I have a little bit of a different opinion here. I know General Milley, and I think General Milley implemented a disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. He should be fired because of his work in the Biden administration and how incompetent he was to wind down all of our operations in Afghanistan. Clearly, he didn't get through to President Biden. So my position is that General Milley should be fired because he's demonstrated that he's incompetent at doing what he is hired to do, which is lead the military and get us in and out of places. Separately, let's be honest, Bob Woodward is writing a book and he is pushing stories to sell a book. And I don't believe any story where anyone who is close to President Trump believes that President Trump was looking to start a war.
Right.
I don't believe, he's trying to start a war anywhere, let alone China. This whole story to me is ridiculous. Nobody who worked with President Trump would believe that he was trying to start a war with China.
So this is, Rick, it was interesting because right before we had Senator Graham join us and his schedule opened up so we could have him on for a few minutes right before you came on. And he brought it back to the same point, which was Afghanistan, that don't let this be the distraction to everyone. Not that it's not serious, not to not get to the bottom of if that warning was given, but keep the focus on Afghanistan, which is where it needs to be.
Yeah, look, he should be fired because of his work in the Biden administration. And what's happening now is everybody in Washington, all those, political people, everybody in the swamp, they are all trying to pretend that Milley should be fired for something that happened in the Trump administration. Look, they don't want to admit that the Biden disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan was a total failure. And so what they're trying to do is deflect. We can't fall for that. We need to focus on the fact that there is no other excuse. General Milley needs to be fired for what happened in Afghanistan. If this book issue, again, I'm really highly skeptical that anyone, and General Milley served very closely with President Trump. I don't believe that General Milley believes that Donald Trump was trying to start a war with China. I just don't believe that. There's no evidence. Anyone who worked closely with President Trump, it's quite the opposite.
Well, and Rick, this is Wesley. This really should not be a political issue at all. This is about the good order and discipline of the military. It's about the Constitution. It's about national security. And I sort of share your opinions of General Milley because I worked with him some when I was at the Pentagon and at Dover as well. I think he is way too political. I realize all four stars at this level, it is a political job. They are chosen by the president. But on the other hand, you can also end up sacrificing your integrity and what you learned and what you've committed to in your military service when you get to that position. And the generals that I know that have been in those positions, they're always on guard about their integrity and about what the Constitution says about the role of the military. And it seems like General Milley has lost sight of this.
Yeah, look, giving raw advice, really blunt advice to the president in confidence is the job. And it's the job of every cabinet official is when you're sitting in the Oval Office and it's just a couple of people with the president and the president asks you questions, you give direct answers. And when you feel like information needs to be shared in an honest, transparent way, then you have to be able to be courageous enough to stand up and give it, even when it doesn't seem popular. Now, look, this was an easy thing to do in President Trump's administration. He sought out different types of information. He would go through and ask people, what do you think? What do you think? And I felt extremely comfortable to constantly share uncomfortable information, information that I felt strongly about. And President Trump would listen and respond in real time. This is not a politician. He liked to get the information and then he would make decisions.
What do you make, Rick, of the way the Pentagon's handled it, though? The fact that you've had John Kirby, because I think that they almost make it worse when he comes out and makes blanket statements like, well, anything that's been reported, unlike what you're saying, is that it's so outrageous that it seems not to be true because no one really could have believed that we were going to start some war with China. But that's not what he said. He said, this doesn't seem unusual, even if this was as it's been reported, if it comes out that that was accurate.
Look, we have a whole bunch of leadership, people in leadership, whether it's at the Pentagon, the State Department, intelligence agencies, who are completely out of touch with the career officials that they're leading and completely out of touch with the American people. We don't want to have political people who are not transparent. I was somebody who believed in declassifying information and getting it out there because of this reason, Jordan. We have a crisis of confidence with the American people when it comes to Washington, D.C. officials. The D.C. bubble does not get it. They do not understand that people don't trust them. People don't trust their decisions. And this is a rot that will continue to happen. The only way to fix it is for officials to step up, to be transparent, to share information even when it's bad, to say, look, we might have made a mistake. Look, let's be honest, on these two ISIS officials who we killed, right? From the moment that we would not release their name, I went out on Twitter and I said, look, they are not high-level people. They're the wrong people if they are not releasing their name. Because from a credibility standpoint, intelligence community wants to release their name once they're killed. We want the public to know we got the bad guy. We did the right thing. This is a moral obligation and a responsibility. But what happened is they couldn't do that. They couldn't tell us who. And immediately I knew something was suspicious. Something was up because we weren't releasing that name. Transparency is our friend and it's not political.
Rick, I appreciate you joining us. And again, I think your thoughts, it's exactly right. Where to focus, where this is, it does, it hurts the American people's already distrust in Washington, D.C. It just that it's another level of that. So, Rick, thanks for joining us and appreciate that. And we're going to Andy on this. You just heard what Rick said and what Senator Graham said back to back. I think it was very interesting because both did not want us to get too far down and then start ignoring the real problem decisions that were made by General Milley.
That's exactly right. And I agree with Ambassador Grinnell. Milley should be fired because of the bungled departure from Afghanistan. But the ultimate person responsible for that is Joe Biden. Ultimately, the buck stops with the commander in chief. But of course, what we're in, and I don't want this that's going on with him and General Lee drawing in the alleged telephone call to depart from the to deflect from the fact that he bungled the Afghanistan withdrawal.
And the acceptance, I think what Rick is that to accept what he is saying as accurate, you have to accept that the Pentagon's mindset and thought process, if they did follow the rules, was it that the president was about to order a military strike on China and how absurd that was. That Rick said, you know, take a step back, put these absurdities together. We're going to explain that. We come back the second half hour because I think we got to break down what both Senator Graham and Rick were talking about here because it's very important. We'll be right back on Secular.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back. What a packed first half hour. There's a lot to unpack in both of those. These are, you know, live interviews that we were doing on the ongoing information involving General Milley, the calls to resign. Is it treason? Is it, you know, we've been doing impeachment over transcripts before, as you know, and our team, you have to, when no one is, one, it's interesting, there's no denials here. That's first right off the bat. Two, we want to get to the bottom of it. So what do we have? Senator Graham is working from the inside the government from Capitol Hill. Very important. Hard for these generals to ignore a U.S. senator and a member of Congress because their budgets. When they go to, right off the bat, they go asking for their support economically. Remember the power of the purse. But two, these are long-serving members of Congress like Senator Graham. And then you have a new member like Congressman Waltz, who has both have military backgrounds. Both are respectful of the leadership, but also remember on our side, what we're doing is we're doing it from the outside, the Freedom of Information Act request. So this information is going to get out there. I mean, Than, if this was said accurately and it was accurately reported, I think it's going to be it is, and I think I picked this up from both Senator Graham and from Rick. It would be absolutely shocking to a lot of Washington actors, including elected officials.
Well, first of all, Jordan, the transcript is going to come out precisely because people like Senator Graham on the inside and then the ACLJ on the outside are going to insist that we get to the bottom of it. That's part of why it's going to come out. I would suspect, Jordan, it'll probably come out sooner rather than later. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's not. But either way, we're going to find the truth on this. Let me just give you maybe one other layer, though, because, of course, Senator Graham and Rick are absolutely correct. And I mean 100% correct that we shouldn't jump to an absolute conclusion on this. However, at this point, Jordan, I really do think that the burden of proof has to be on General Milley here. And I'm not talking about in a criminal setting. I'm not talking about in a reprimand setting or, you know, even punishment under the UCMJ. I'm talking about giving an answer to the allegation that he either did or did not go outside the civilian chain of command. Because, Jordan, you know, the evidence that's on the table says looks that he at least did when Secretary Miller was the acting Secretary of Defense. That has to be responded to, Jordan. This is too sacred of a principle, the civilian control of the military, to go unanswered. The American people need to know that the military, in order to maintain our respect for them, which we certainly want to do, we have to have confidence that it is still under the civilian chain of command. So while Senator Graham and Rick are absolutely correct that we shouldn't jump to a conclusion, I think we, the American people, Jordan, should demand an answer from Secretary General Milley.
And it's a difference between a conclusion on he's absolutely, you know, guilty of treason, and it's second to be, like Rick said, he should be fired over Afghanistan, regardless of this being true, but also what the bigger issue, which is that while I think the government actors, if you're a senator, someone like Rick coming out of that, you do have to you understand the issues of these books, and we all do. For goodness sakes, we did the impeachment trial. It was all about a transcript and a phone call that 35 people from the United States were on. That doesn't include from Ukraine. On these phone calls, it's reported about 15 people were on. Not for total, just from the United States. So the notes will make it out very clear, because if those words were said the way they were being reported as being said, that's one thing. If it's slightly different, it is slightly, you know. But all of that being said, this is why people hate Washington, D.C. And I think Senator Graham understands that. Rick totally understood. This is why people, it's whether they come out and say it's not true or true, the fact that we have to wait 48 hours. At this point, why can't we just say this did or did not happen? You've got acting secretaries of defense saying they never authorized, another secretary of defense saying they did authorize the first phone call. The American people just want to know. He brought this to our attention. This is being reported in a public book. Did you or did you not tell the Chinese and promise to warn them about attacks? And did you have any authorization to do that? Was that some kind of play? Or were you acting rogue? That's what the American people want to know. They're sick and tired of just the Washington talk. Answer the questions and we can move on to the big issues. And that's Afghanistan and holding people accountable for that mess.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Kind of sums it all up. It's the outrage, the distrust of Washington, D.C. And we're talking about words like treason, and yet people are not responding, or they're kind of halfway responding. And there's, we know, 15 plus people in a room. I want you to take a listen, because here, this puts it to me. There's two people on trial here. It's not just General Milley. To the Democrats, it's becoming more and more clear, especially to the Biden administration, it's Donald Trump. Thus, it would be anybody who supported Donald Trump as well. That somehow he it was like Rick was saying, it was so out there to think that this was a possibility to even need this call. That it's outrageous and hard to believe. But that being said, no one has denied it. No one has denied it. In fact, the Biden administration, their spin on this is that even if this is true, totally appropriate. Take a listen to the Pentagon.
It's also completely appropriate, and again, I'm not speaking to the validity of things that are in the book, but it is completely appropriate for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as the senior military advisor to both the secretary and the president, to want to see those protocols reviewed on whatever frequent basis that he wants to do that. So, again, I can't speak to the validity, but I see nothing in what I've read that would cause any concern.
We know that. I mean, that goes too far.
Yes.
Because then you're saying, even if he did say he'd give the warning, and the idea that I will call you and tell you if we're going to strike, that's all fine.
Yeah.
That's what we're now hearing from the Pentagon. So that's what they're protecting themselves.
And what he's saying by law is categorically false. You know, as a career Army officer, you know, I'm appalled that such charges can even be made against a general officer in our armed services. But the lack of a forthright denial by General Milley or his staff causes me even more concern, because it gives validity to some of the allegations that have been made, that he was out of his lane, and that cannot be tolerated. And here's the thing about that meeting in the National Command Center in the basement of the Pentagon that Admiral Kirby was just referring to. He went down there, according to reports, and it was not routine, because he actually, you know, solicited a vow, an oath from each of those officers in that command center. That is one of the most important rooms in the Pentagon. It's the National Command Center. They monitor national security issues 24/7. It's one of the most difficult places to get into in that building. And he went down there, and according to reports, this was not routine because he told the staff in the National Command Center that if there's going to be a military strike, including a nuclear strike, that he is part of that process, that procedure. He wasn't reviewing the procedure. He was inserting himself into the procedure, which is forbidden by law. He is not part of that process. If any president were to order a nuclear strike or a major attack on another nation, it goes from the president to the Secretary of Defense to the combatant commanders around the world. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff might be notified, but he is not in the chain of command. He does not get to approve or reject any decisions made by the president. And yet that's what he's telling these young men and women who are serving in the most one of the most important rooms in our country as far as national security goes. And like I said, this obfuscation, you know, not really denying it totally, but making up excuses, that gives me as much concern as the allegations themselves.
And Thad, I think that Senator Graham, Congressman Waltz, I think Rick Grenell, I mean, you know, all of this, but especially the members of Congress, because this hearing that's scheduled, they would like to get this resolved so that we can get back to the bigger issue of Afghanistan, not being, because if you get caught by this Washington, these head fakes in Washington, this all the salacious, you start, you focus on the wrong areas, and ultimately, what the Biden team is relitigating is if Donald Trump was crazy, and if this general was doing the right thing because of what their narrative is, and that is their political narrative. They've been clear about that. I mean, they're the opposing side, and that's the kind of info they shared. So. That to me, there's an impetus here to kind of get this resolved before September 28th, before that hearing is supposed to occur. And of course, Senator Kennedy Thad and some of these senators don't even think there will ever be a hearing with General Milley. They think he will be gone before that.
I think there's a strong likelihood of that, Jordan. And here's why it needs to be resolved. Here's why General Milley needs to respond to these in short order. Jordan, it's because he's still, right now, today, the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. Can we have confidence in the fact that he is still chairing the Joint Chiefs? Jordan, he's still advising the current president. And look, if there is ever going to be a situation where a president, you hope this never becomes the case, but is going to be incapacitated, whether it's President Trump or President Biden or a future president, there is a process in place to have the chain of command moved. That is called the 25th Amendment. It was not invoked in this case. And Jordan, even if it were to be invoked, and Wes has pointed this out through the regular chain of command, in no circumstance would General Milley have ever entered that chain of command. If the 25th Amendment had ever been invoked, it would have moved down to the vice president. If the 25th Amendment were invoked for President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris would have the authority at the top of that chain of command. But today, as we speak, Jordan, we have a chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff who has not responded to allegations of this magnitude. That's why I don't think either we can get to the 28th without a response. He either needs to be removed because the president does not have confidence in him, or he needs to at least come out and tell his side of the story so Senator Graham and others can get to the bottom of it.
Why don't you take a listen again to John Kirby, because again, the idea that he first says it's completely appropriate. So even though I can't speak to whether it's true or not, I don't see any issue with it. So the reporters are pretty shocked by that statement. Take a listen.
I guess I can't really understand why you're not denying that that is happening, that that happens, since that's a pretty serious allegation.
I'm not speaking to it at all, Laura. It's not that I'm not denying it. I'm going to refuse to speak to specific anecdotes that are in this book. I'm in no position to do that, and I don't think it would be helpful for me to try to speculate one way or the other about the veracity of these anecdotes.
Here's what we know, though, and I mean, right for the, he said before that that's completely appropriate. So whether he is the right person to have the info or not, he makes it clear he wasn't there at the time, and that he's not going to talk on it. But he has talked about it. They put into question Donald Trump's the questions about him, and whether or not basically was he going to take some crazy action. I mean, that's how they're portraying it. And they're just saying, so everything we did here is appropriate. But I think that they know at the end of the day that these apparatuses are not as much of a threat to them long term. Even though we talk about the institutions, they're not worried about the institutions turning on them.
No, they're not. But you got to realize this is a massively interesting act of deflection from General Milley and from President Biden with respect to what happened in Afghanistan. And that's what this is. This is a very calculated political deflection, trying to get away from the reality of what happened in Afghanistan. The disastrous murder of 13 American troops, the rendering of people stranded in Afghanistan, the leaving of equipment and material and other personnel that were helping us in Afghanistan, and they're trying to deflect it away by a line in a book from Bob Woodward. Senator Graham said it in the best way. He's a former prosecutor. I'm a former prosecutor. Let's get to this and put this out of the way. You said that you call, it is reported that you called a Chinese general and said the U.S. would not attack China, and that if that were to change, you would alert him in advance so it would not be a surprise. This is Lindsey Graham's letter. And here's what I want to know from Milley. Did you place these calls to General Zhuangzhang and discuss these matters? Is the reporting on these calls an accurate reflection of the content of the conversations? Yes or no? That's all I want to know. That's how I conduct criminal prosecutions in the state of Georgia when I was a prosecutor. Did you say it or didn't you say it? Why doesn't Milley come out and say, I said it or I didn't say it? And let's get on to the real work, which is what happened in that debacle in Afghanistan. That's what you should be responsible
for. Well, and a second question in addition to that, Andy, would be, did you go to the National Command Center of the Pentagon and insert yourself into the national defense by putting yourself in as part of the decisions made concerning nuclear strikes? Did you do either of those things? And he can simply say, no, I did not. And like I said, his refusal to even address this gives me even more concern.
You walk through this too. I wanted to explain in your piece on ACLJ.org so that people understand this, what we talk about, the chain of command, is the inside, outside. It's all in your piece at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by law, the Goldwater-Nichols Act of 1986, because they had to clarify the National Defense Act that established the Joint Chiefs of Staff, it explicitly states that the chairman and his colleagues on that group do not have operational command authority. Their role is very specific. They are the senior military advisors to whoever is president of the United States. They literally, by law, are not in the chain of command. And everyone that served in the Joint Chiefs in my career were very aware of that. They are not commanders. They're generals. They have four stars on their shoulders, but they're not in the chain of command. And he has gone in and he has inserted himself illegally into that chain of command.
All right, folks, final segment coming up. If you want to get your thoughts on this, too, I know it's a lot of information to digest. 1-800-684-3110 to be with us on the air. You get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope, YouTube, and again, just to digest all of this so that, you know, you accept the shock, the follow-up, what should happen next. We'll talk about it all when we come back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
This is what you're starting to see, I think, from the respected individuals, whether from the Republican Party, but also from the conservative thought, is okay. Once you digest this, initially, it's shocking. If it's true, I mean, we talked about things like treason. It's because it wouldn't be that. It's not that far of a step. When you read the basic definition, and then you see what he is not denying occurred. You've even got the Pentagon saying, well, it's appropriate. And to litigate, there's a hope, I think, by the Biden administration, because you saw Jen Psaki jump on it, basically just pile on Donald Trump, say this was necessary because it's Donald Trump. And you heard from Rick on our show today say how absurd the thinking would have to be to justify anything like this at all, this kind of action, that this would somehow be imminent and that this was the only guy that knew it. That the only person who knew it inside of all the advisors to the president of the United States was him. And he, so to get to that jump is so extreme. We need to get the answers, but the answers are not forthcoming. It's not even clear yet 100% who talked to Bob Woodward. It's just being assumed that it's General Milley. Let me take Sharon's call on line two from Kansas. Hey, Sharon, welcome to Secular. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do. My big question, and I think I probably speak for a lot of people, is Graham sending this letter just because Milley says, no, I didn't do it. Wouldn't he need to be under oath or on a lie detector so we know he's telling the truth?
But he testifies he will be under oath. So if he was to provide false information, he comes back to Capitol Hill and testifies under oath, he's in a whole serious legal jeopardy. So that will be done, Sharon. The second part of this stand is, I don't love this out of Washington because we dealt with the impeachment, but we know that in all these allegations, not a single time has someone said that these were only two guys on the phone. There were at least, it says, 15 other people for both these calls. I mean, so, and we know that would be the normal practice for the normal phone calls between the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the head of a foreign military, which no one would say is so shocking or weird on itself. It's the content.
Yeah, and that's why the transcript is going to come out. The content is what is important. I would say to the caller, though, Jordan, part of the reason that it's important that Senator Graham get a response and maybe even a meeting in advance of that hearing is because, like you said, while the general will be under oath when he comes before Congress, it's going to be important to compare it to what he says to the senator behind closed doors. I mean, I think the senator can probably push a little bit farther in a closed setting about the content of the letter. I mean, one of the things he asked about in this letter is he says, what about this allegation that you would alert the Chinese if an attack were to happen? Now, Jordan, I'm with you. There's no way that President Trump was ever close to that. His foreign policy was so consistently geared in the other direction. That was never on the table. But hypothetically, if the United States was about ready to attack an adversary on China's scale, the worst thing in the world that someone in the chain of command would do would be to alert your adversary. Well, because what would happen in that situation, Jordan? That adversary would do what? They would preemptively attack our people. So the idea that was even in the conversation, you've got to get to the bottom of it. And in my view, the most effective way for Senator Graham to do that is to try to get the information out in front. And then when he's in front of them under oath, ask him about it under oath.
I'm going to play this from Jen Psaki because, she talks about insurrection. You tried to justify the second phone call, which was 2 days after January 6th. The truth is, a chairman of the Joint Chiefs, if this is true, that's an insurrection. That's not a rally got out of control with bad actors, which now that Congress has done all the research, they said was not mass organized to storm the Capitol. There weren't all these groups that were coordinating this at some higher level. It was a horrible situation. We've condemned it. We've been clear about that since the moment it happened. But they are utilizing it to justify this. That's why I don't think that you're not getting denials. You're getting the administration, both Kirby and Jen Psaki, take a listen, defending the action here.
Is there a point where criticism makes General Milley unable to continue in this role because it is a new administration, it's a new day, and there are some questions about if he exceeded his authority?
Well, again, the president has complete confidence in his leadership, his patriotism, and his fidelity to our Constitution. I can't speak to the former president's experience with him or the former president's views of him. But this current president, who follows the Constitution, who's not fomenting an insurrection, who follows the rule of law, has complete confidence in Chairman Milley and him continuing to serve in his role.
So, still very, it's all politics. Because to this team, they still see President Trump. He's their number one potential political threat to them.
He is, Jordan. And they just cannot get around Donald Trump. They have to make a statement about how great Joe Biden is and how he is an executive and how he's supporting the Constitution. But he's got to say that this can't speak to what this other president, who was fomenting an insurrection, just had to get that little dig in, couldn't resist it.
Well, plus, if you follow her logic, what she's basically advocating is that if Donald Trump were fomenting an insurrection, which he was not, but if he were, it is okay for the military to take over the country. It is okay for a four-star general to interfere with the chain of command and to have his own insurrection, if you will, in order to defend the country. That is an insane logical, argument that she's making.
So the spiral here is, we're 24 hours from Friday, that it's a weekend. So it's a whole week of a story. The question, how long does this continue, or does it come to a head because you've got the members of Congress, senators like Lindsey Graham, unless he just resigns, he's been so quiet, that's a potential, is that they can't ignore outright members of Congress who are not accusing them, but just asking the question.
Yeah, at a bare minimum, this is going to be a topic of conversation at the hearing on the 28th, Jordan. And, you really hope it doesn't come to that, because that hearing really does need to focus on Afghanistan to the extent possible. But I come back to this, and ultimately, Jordan, this is what makes me believe that he probably should resign. He's actively in this position of great influence, and now it's become a distraction. So look, I mean, maybe General Milley feels like he didn't do anything wrong. Maybe he feels like Secretary Miller at that point did issue an order, or there was a carryover from Secretary Esper. He could even assert that, Jordan, but remember, his duty is to the United States of America and to the Constitution, and at this point, it's very difficult for me to see how he carries that out fully. I think he probably should be gone one way or the other, either at the president's direction or at his own resignation. But Jordan, back to your question, the Senate's not going to let this go. If he's not gone by the 28th, it will be a topic at that hearing.
I feel like they drag it out up until then, and then throw someone new in there, and you can't really ask any questions of them, because what do they know? I mean, a deputy that didn't have decision-making authority. And I see how all of it plays out. I think that's why Lindsey and Rick, everybody is thinking, wait, get the info, or else we're just all falling prey to a classic political move of where to place the blame, but not even the blame of Afghanistan, because they won't even have to make it about Afghanistan. And you can still talk about Donald Trump, the insurrectionist, instead of a president being undermined yet again, this time by the military. It's the second military official that would have been undermining President Trump, because remember Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who thinks that, by the way, this should be fired for this action. But he thought a phone call, like Senator Graham said, about investigating corruption was enough to go outside his chain of command. So remember that. Everybody covering themselves. Typical Washington. It's gross, but don't let it distract you from the big issues. We're going to stay on, of course, at the ACLJ, of course, our partners in Congress. We will talk to you next time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.